We're here talking about firming up our faith, being firm in our understanding and appreciation of God. This section I've swapped from the original. It was going to be short, but we're going to talk about long-term decisions. And what I want you to do is just tell me a long-term decision. What's a plan that you've got? Yes, ma'am. College? What's your major? Don't say undecided.
Medical.
Medical. Ooh. You ready for organic chemistry? Nice. Nice. I started to go for a medical degree. Guess what happened to me? I didn't even get to organic chemistry. I got to zoology and I went, no. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, is it okay if I'm just a preacher? I wish I hadn't said that because I've lived to just a preacher. But there are some brethren that think, oh, he's just a preacher. So, you know, what? He one day off and six days off and one off day. Heath might get it. It's not true. But, all right, what else? What other kind of plans do you have? How many of you guys out there want to retire one day? How many of you have been to like a financial planner? It's kind of scary, isn't it? How many of you remember the first time you signed a 30-year mortgage? Did you look at that number all the way to the right on one of those disclosure sheets? This is how much you'll pay for your $60,000, $100,000 house. You went, oh, I'm going to pay that much? And that's kind of the financial thing. I have to have how much to retire? I'm going to work till I'm 140. I'm going to die when I'm 80. Anyway, what's another plan? Long term. How many of you want to get married one day? Have kids? Not if they're like my sister. See, some of you got that. The idea of making a long-term decision is there are smaller steps along the way. But having a plan is important. Having a plan is important spiritually, which is what we're going to talk about today. And the idea of what are your expectations of the plan? If you want to become a lawyer, let's say, I threw Randy under the bus, but being a good, godly lawyer is a wonderful thing to do. If you want to become a lawyer or a doctor, at least how many years of schooling are you looking at? 8 for a doctor, and that's just regular. If you want to be a surgeon, that's some more. And if you want to be an orthopedic surgeon, that's even more. And if you want to go in the Navy so that they can help pay for it, guess how many more years you're going to put on top of that? And by the time you're 42, you can leave your parents' basement and government housing. But how many folks go into a plan saying, I'm going to fail? Nope, nobody does that. Nobody goes into a marriage, at least you shouldn't, thinking, this is going to fail. Nobody goes to church thinking, this whack job is going to keep me awake for 2 hours and it's going to be as boring as I know. Nobody, you know, that's not the plan. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. What's the oldest person that you know of that's given birth in your life? If I had a new baby, I am going to be 55 years old in a couple of months. And my wife is already 55. If she became pregnant, how many of you would look at me gape-mouthed saying, Mark, what are you doing? This child, when he graduates from high school, you're going to be 73 years old. What's wrong with you, man? How many folks at high school graduations have 73-year-old parents? They have 73-year-old grandparents, right? Maybe even great-grandparents, depending on how all the math worked. But nobody at 55 years old said, hey, I want a baby. Right? In Genesis chapter 12, when God comes to Abram, and he says, you know, the first three verses, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Except we got a problem. We haven't read verse 4 yet. What's the problem? What's the problem with Abraham and Sarah? Or Abram and Sarai, however you would. What's the problem? Well, there's not a problem. How many folks out here are 75 years old? They just said you're a problem. See, I went kind of lawyerly on you, didn't I? The problem is not being 75. The problem is being 75 and no children. And then God said, you're going to have kids. Right? I'm going to make of you a great nation. So when somebody makes you a promise, what are your expectations? If somebody says, your family is going to be huge. And that's what, isn't that what he said? In chapter 12 and verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he had departed Haran. 75 years old. 20 years older than me, no kids. God says, your family is going to be stupid, crazy large. That's Mark's commentary on Genesis chapter 12. In fact, later on, he tells Abraham to go out and count the stars, right? You ever tried to count the stars? Any of you ever seen the Milky Way other than on YouTube or like on a Google picture? Have you ever actually seen like the Milky Way at night when you get away from the lights? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Count the stars, Abraham. Now, why did God tell him to count the stars other than to tell him to be quiet for a few minutes as he's counting? One, two, three. Was that what God was expecting, to actually count them? No. What was he trying to get Abraham to see? What was he trying to get him to see? And how many kids did he have then? How's that going to work? How's that going to work? I got nobody. And in fact, in bargaining with God, he says, look, if I die now, which was not an unlikely possibility of dying between 75 and 90 years old. If I die now, a guy that I got from Damascus is going to have, he's going to be my heir. Is this how it's supposed to pan out, God? And God said, no. And then you remember Abraham and Sarah helping God out because of their expectations? All right, wives. How many of you would turn your husband over to somebody from the clan and say, okay, have a child with her? Bad decision. Right? Now, what's interesting is God used that bad decision as a blessing. Because from Ishmael, great nations came. Now, but was that God's plan? What happens when we try to help out God's plan with human wisdom? A lot of times it gets messed up. We're supposed to use our brain. Too many folks check their brain at the door when they come into church and when they walk through life. They go, well, I can just do what I feel like doing. Sarah came up with this idea and Abraham went along with it. Bad idea. Both of them. What one word could Abraham have said? No. This is a great word. Not out of a two-year-old. But this is a great word. It's a great word. No. If we learn to say no at the right time, what's that going to help us do in our life? Who's the first person we need to learn to say no to, adults? Ourselves. Yes, ma'am. Ourselves. Because how many of us want to say no to Cheetos and Dr. Pepper? I know some of you want to say no to it. You people from Columbus, you're crazy. But we don't normally say no to dessert. I say no to chocolate. I know. Chocolate, what's right? See, even Celery Girl over here is looking at me like I'm a weirdo now. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, sweetie. I apologize. As you can tell, I like picking on people sometimes, right, Randy? And so, saying no to ourselves is a very important idea to learn, not only physically, but also spiritually. So the poll I'm going to ask you right now, what percentage of people, if I were to ask it, just of people in this room this morning, would say they wanted to go to heaven? What would the percentage be? Duh. Of course I want to go to heaven. How many want to follow God? Well, of course we want to follow God. How many of us want to wait on God as long as Abraham waited? Turn to Genesis chapter 21. I know you've studied this before, and I know you've thought about it before, but I want you to think about it again. There's a danger in expectations. How many of you have ever been on a vacation that did not meet your expectations? How many of you felt like you wasted a lot of money? Like taking an 18-month-old to Disneyland. That's just crazy. You spend $14 million, and what does the 18-month-old remember? Nothing! But people do that, though, don't they? You see those strollers, oh, look, it's Cinderella. Ah! You know, what? Expectations can be problems. Because God tells Abraham, before he's 75 years old, because he says, I called you out of Ur. And in Genesis chapter 12, he's in Haran, which is halfway there. He says, I called you out of Ur. And at 75 years old, he leaves Haran and he goes traveling. And how much of life has happened between chapter 12 and chapter 21 for Abraham? I mean, we've been through a lot with Abraham and Sarah, right? We've been through a lot. In Genesis chapter 21, in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Now, when did he speak it? At least how many years before? 25 years. How many of you here in the first three rows are 25 years old? None of you. How many of you want to wait 25 years for a promise? How about if your dad said, you know, I'm going to buy you a car one day. And you get it when you're 40. Would you think that your dad had kept his promise? In those 25 years, you'd be going, hey, Pops, what's up? You know, I've been kind of counting and waiting. I mean, you know, I even got a job so I could pay the insurance. And dad said, great. Wait. How many people wait well? I'm going to tell on myself. I like Coke Zero. McDonald's used to have Coke Zero. In town, I used to run through McDonald's because, you know, you get a large Coke for a dollar. Seven, because we have seven. So they have fish around. And this purple-haired old lady in front of me ordered fries without salt. I know she did. I heard her. She ordered fries without salt. Guess how long you have to wait at McDonald's for fries without salt? And all I'm wanting is my Coke Zero. It's $1.07. It's not, see, all the adults are laughing because they've been the same place I have. And I'm just sitting there. Now think about the ludicrousy of my thought process. I have expectations in the drive-thru, right? I'm waiting for somebody to hand me something out the window into my running car, and I'm being impatient. That's crazy for me to think that, why am I getting impatient with somebody that's waiting on me, that's serving me? My expectations are way too high to think that I might actually have to be patient on life. I may have to actually wait. Somebody else might get in the way of my expectations. And I have to talk to myself like that. Because my normal default setting is, I want what I want it when I want it, which means now, and I want it for less than you want me to pay for it. But I was okay with a dollar. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just going, what? It's just, and I'm sitting there, and I'm getting mad at this poor old lady who's probably got high blood pressure in front of me who just wants some French fries. And then I think to myself, why on this earth am I getting mad at this poor lady? She didn't do anything to me. But see, here I am. I'm thinking this is happening to me. And I am the only person in the world that this is happening to. I tell this story too often at home, probably. They think the only thing I ever drink is Coke Zero. It's not true. I like Diet Mountain Dew, too. But the idea of all of this is sometimes our expectations can get in the way. And so in verse 5, now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Serious question. How many times in the intervening 25 years did Abraham think God probably forgot about me? It's kind of a trick question. Do you think there may have been a day, a morning, at some point along the way when he thought, this ain't happening? More reverse brainstorming. As we are waiting on our decisions, on being faithful, on getting married, on having children, on wanting to go to heaven, there are going to be times when we have to be patient. There are going to be times when we have to be patient with people. Because people will not meet our expectations. Adults, true or false? There are going to be times, and I don't know how many times this has been said, but I'm just going to be the guy to say it. There are going to be times that God will not meet our expectations. Because he did not meet Abraham and Sarah's expectations. He didn't meet them for 25 years. Now, that doesn't mean that God is wrong. That means that I'm wrong. But as from our last lesson, I don't like admitting that I'm wrong, so I've got a problem. So what I want us to do right now, I want us to think about ways and attitudes specifically. Attitudes that are going to help us not to get to heaven. And I'm going to put the first one up. If we are impatient and expect everything to work out just... How many of you adults, I'm pretty sure you teenagers don't watch this, like Hallmark movies? Christmas time, oh wow, great. Hey, we can have a watch party. A lot of folks don't like Hallmark movies because you know what's coming. Do you know why a lot of folks like Hallmark movies? Because you know what's coming. You can tell in the first 5 minutes who the girl is and who the guy is, and at the end, at about a quarter till, 15 minutes before the movie's over, there's going to be some cacophony of events that happens and everything. But everybody knows it's going to end up great because it's a Hallmark movie. And I love them. You know why? You know why I love them? Because life has enough stuff in it. I like a happy ending. I like me a happy ending. Now let me be real with you. Life is not always about happy endings. The right guy doesn't always get the right girl. The baby is not always healthy. Sometimes the doctor calls and tells you it's cancer. And our expectations sometimes are higher than that. Abraham and Sarah had to wait. They could have gotten impatient, and in fact they did. But what can we do to make sure to get off track? I know there were some things that we mentioned earlier that probably could go up here. What are some attitudes? I want to focus on attitudes. What are some attitudes that we can have? Yes, ma'am. Oh, and then alone, what's something else that comes from that? If I'm alone, God doesn't care. Can I put a hyphen underneath it? Have a table for one over here for the pity party. And every person at some point will go through it. Now, this isn't just for you, but imagine being married to somebody for 40 or 50 years and them dying. Or being married to somebody for 20 or 30 years and them leaving you. Or having these grand expectations about how things are going to go and they don't go that way. Somebody turns their back on you, they break a contract. You move your family to go get for a job somewhere, and you get there, and they're like, you don't have a job. I mean, there's all sorts of things like that that don't happen in Hallmark movies. Poor Abraham and Sarah. Can you imagine their cousins? Oh, poor Sarah. When the one thing, I realize we live in the 21st century, but imagine 4,000 years ago, the one thing a wife was supposed to bring to the table. We understand in science now that that's not how it always works. But a wife is supposed to be fertile. If you were a fertile myrtle, you were a blessing. Some of you may have heard that name before. That was what you were supposed to do. Imagine the shame that Sarah had to live with, even after Ishmael was born. And what kind of pity party she could have thrown. What else? By the way, are we? Who's somebody that threw a great pity party? Remember Elijah? How high was Elijah's high spiritually? How high was his high? How low did his low come? immediately after the high. Could that happen to us? So if you're in something, all right, let's go back to the young lady who's going to be a medical assistant or whatever. Let's suppose that she gets into her first calculus class. Have you had calculus yet? Okay, she gets into her second class. She made a B. She worked her fingers to... Do you still write things in classes now? From college? I'm talking about your second semester of calculus. Do you actually write things down? I mean, like in math classes, do they still have paper and pencil? Okay, I'm not that old. Okay, good. So imagine writing through and you're working on it and you worked so hard, you filled up notebooks and things with all the calculus, and you get to your second calculus class that you have to have because it's a prerequisite, and you just don't get it anymore. And you're thinking about quitting. Can you be in the medical field without going through all the prerequisites? Well, it's just this one class. I'm never going to use this ever again. How many of you ever said in class, I am never, ever going to use algebra or English literature or Greek or whatever? Why do I have to take this class? Because somebody said so. It actually proves that your mind can actually work. That's what people want. People want to have people who can be trainable. Why does God want us to have long-term ideas? Why does he want us to look at the long term? Because if we lose sight of the long term, where might we end up? Abraham and Sarah lost the picture. They lost the picture for the long term, and what did they end up doing? And how did that work out? How about we add another one? How well is it going to work for us if we try to help God change his mind? Let me give you a perfect example. There are a lot of folks who will teach that baptism is no real big deal. It doesn't really make any difference. And they still love God. There's no question. They love God. They love Jesus. They love the idea about God and Jesus. But they want to help God change his mind about something that Jesus actually said needs to happen. How well does that work? Is that going to help anybody get to heaven? You can do all of this, but you don't have to do that. How well does that work? How well did it work for Abraham and Sarah to help God change his mind? Here, let's help God out. What kind of problems did it create in the family? Adults, what kind of problems did it help create in the family? Was there any peace in the tent? I imagine it may have gotten kind of quiet. There's a wonderful old expression. There's a difference between a quiet house and a peaceful house. There was probably a lot of awkward quiet. Hashtag that awkward moment. No, I'm not cool. I just know what cool people used to do. They don't even do that anymore, right? Imagine the awkward moment, the awkward times that are created because they didn't have the long-term view. So let me ask you this question. Knowing what it takes in long-term decisions and becoming a Christian, why would anybody want to be a Christian? It has a bad connotation, doesn't it? When somebody asks this type of question, there's kind of a negative connotation. Why would anybody want to be a Christian? Tell me, why, young people? Why would you want to serve God? Give me both. I should remember his name from now on. What is the obvious reason? I want to go to heaven when we die. I want to be forgiven of my sins. What happens if we forget about that? What happened when Abraham and Sarah forgot about the long-term plan of God? The long-term plan is I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land. And you are going to be a blessing for people forever and always. What happens when we forget about the plan? All right, adults. We've got a financial plan. We're going to put $250 a month in a mutual fund, and we're going to let it just sit and grow and forget about it. And then what happens? Well, let's not put that in this month. And then next month. And then you make a habit for 30 years of not putting anything in it, and your mutual fund that you put $500 in, it grew to $1,000 when you retired. How much is $1,000 going to help you out? Lucky if it's a week. But we got off of the plan, right? We diverted from the plan. Some diversions are necessary because some plans are wrong. Some plans are faulty. But if we got a plan like serving God, if we got a plan like wanting to go to heaven when we die, if we got a plan like wanting to serve Jesus, we're going to have to stick with the plan. It's kind of like me and my diets. I obviously have not stuck to my plans. They were faulty. Because I just want a cheeseburger. The serious question that you have to come to grips with is, do I really want this? Because there's going to be times that that question is begged. Do I really want to be a doctor? Do I really want to be a wife? Do I really want to be a parent? Do I really want to go to heaven? Those are questions that in the initial term you say, yes, yes, yes. Do you always know how hard it's going to be? What if you grow up saying, I want to be a concert trumpetist? I want to play with the New York Philharmonic. Or the Boston Pops. Chicago Symphony. How hard would it be to be not even the lead trumpet. Let's say you're the third trumpet in the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. How good of a trumpet player do you suppose you'd have to be? How many years? How much money and time and effort do you imagine you would have to... How many of you have ever said, I want to be a swimmer or a basketball player or a trumpeter or saxophonist or artist or something, that you have some plan? How hard does it look for NBA basketball players to play basketball? Looks pretty easy, doesn't it? When Steph shoots a 26-footer and it swishes, you're like, man, that's crazy. Any basketball fans here at all? Any? Okay. Not my people. But it looks easy when he does it. It sounded easy that God could bless. First question. When did God decide he wanted us to be with him in heaven? Because what I want you to look at is God's decision. When did God decide that he wanted us to be with him in heaven? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Can I volunteer to read Ephesians 3, 8 to 12? So how long was God planning on us being with him? What does it say there in verse 11? How long was his purpose, decision, plan? How long in the past did it go? What does eternal mean? Okay, so before the foundation of the world. Is that fair? Before the foundation of the world, God had this plan. Now, there's a problem. What was the problem? What's always the problem? What's the answer to the problem always in Bible class? Three-letter word. Sin. We got a problem here. How long did God know about the problem? If the plan was Jesus and the problem was sin, he knew about the problem. What if I tell you there's going to be a problem? There's going to be a problem in your life. There's going to be a problem in your college. There's going to be a problem in your studies. There's going to be a problem in your marriage. There's going to be a problem with your kids. What is the one human weakness that gets us so very often? I want to avoid the problem, right? I do not want to be inconvenienced. I do not want to be frustrated. I only want to listen to what I want to listen to. Here's a problem with long-term plans. There's always a problem. Always a problem. How well did it go for Abraham and Sarah? Did their expectations get met by God? Well, sure, when he was 104, after they already got the baby, but when they're 85, is God meeting their expectations? He may have had a bad day. He may have had a bad week or month or even a bad year. But the long-term plan for Abraham, even in his mistakes, was, I'm still trusting in the Lord. Because that's what all the New Testament writers say about Abraham. He was the father of the faithful. He trusted in God. What was Abraham's problem? Isaac's about, what, 12, 14 years old? And God says, Abraham, I need you to take your boy and go sacrifice him. Excuse me? You know that had to be going through his mind, right? I'm supposed to do what with it? Now, on that 3-day journey, what do you imagine was going through Abraham's mind? We got a problem. Mamas, what if daddy tells you, God told me that we're going to sacrifice the child that you had when you were 90 years old? How many of you going to let him out the door? Sometimes we don't give Sarah enough credit either. We got a problem. How are we going to handle the problem? How did God handle the problem? How did God handle the problem of sin? So let's turn back to Romans chapter 3. We're going to read a preachery passage here and talk about these. Most all of us know Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? There's a problem. The problem with us being in heaven with God for eternity is the sin problem. We're going to sin. God knew it. So what did he do? Verse 24. For being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is preachery of preachery here. Passages, words that you don't use very often. Verse 25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How did God handle the problem? He said, all right, we got a problem here. I am just and holy. I can't just wink away sin. I can't just say, oh, it never happened. I can't do that, but I got to save him too. So he comes up with Jesus. How many of you, knowing the story, being Jesus, would still go to the cross for people who hated you? How great a God do we serve? How great a God do we serve? That even though he knew the problem, and even as God in the flesh came to the earth, he said, I don't care about the problem. I got the long-term plan in mind. I'm going to get to that plan. We're going to finish the plan. And what were some of the last words he said on the cross? It is finished. Now, think about that long-term decision of Jesus. Let's just think about a couple of them. How many of you all would have put up with the Pharisees? This one, I love this. That was awesome. Because it's true. How many of us would have put up with them? How many of you, when they said, Lord, is it I? When Judas actually said it, would have said, uh-huh. Tell me you wouldn't have been tempted. Come on. Tell me you wouldn't have been tempted. And yet, how many of you remember was one specific person that it is amazing to me that Jesus washed his feet? Jesus washed Judas' feet that night. And he knew what he was about to do. How much of love is involved in our long-term plan? Love for God. Love for others. This was Jesus' decision. This was God's decision. And sometimes, guys, I don't think we think enough about that. I don't think we humanize Jesus enough. Of course he was God. But he faced the same temptations and frustrations that we did and stuck to the plan. He stuck to the plan. Even when he didn't want to. Have you ever been in the middle of a plan and wanted to quit? Whether it was a class, your parents told you you had to do something. So what do you do when you want to quit? What's the easy thing to do? So why do we quit? Legitimate question. Why do people quit? Why have I quit all my diets? It's too hard, Nick? Generally, yeah. Do we always think about the long-term plan? We're going to talk about short-term after lunch. Short-term decisions. But in the long-term, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I can do more with my money now. I can do more with my time now. This is hard. How many times have you said in class, I don't get it, or thought it? You ever thought that? Any of you ever taken a foreign language? Some people are gifted with foreign languages. I do well enough to speak English, and I don't always do that very well. But if the long-term plan is for me to be able to speak Spanish, I'm going to have to go through hard times, right? Now, do we understand that academically? Why don't we get that spiritually? Because I want to be real with you for a minute. You can ask any one of these people over here, any of these old people, and ask them about people who've quit. And they thought they had legitimate reasons why they quit. We don't want you to quit. We actually want some of you to get started. Because Jesus didn't quit on us. And the question that I would like you to think about is, what decisions can you make that will help you achieve what God wants you to achieve? The simple thing is, God wants you to be in heaven. God wants you to be with Him. And the simple idea of the gospel message, and it's a message that you know, it can be as simple as, I need to follow Jesus. But sometimes that's going to be a very difficult thing to do. And who do you suppose wants it to be difficult? Did our God tell us that sometimes it's going to be difficult? This is a hard class. When my college professor said that at different times, I went, yeah, yeah, everybody says that. And then the second week happened, I'm like, you mean I'm really going to have to work? You mean I really have to do the work? How many of you would rather watch Netflix than work? I don't have Netflix, but I'd rather watch ESPN. Even a rerun of SportsCenter. Why do we always want to take the easy way out? Who knows that we're tempted that way? God does. If your first thought was Satan, he does. But God knows that we're tempted that way. What I would like for you to remember this morning is God knows, and He wants you to make godly decisions. Godly decisions. If you get to come back after lunch, which I hope you all get to, we're going to talk about more specific things, about short-term decisions, decisions that you'll face, and how to deal with them. The long-term decisions are easy to make, like today. What's the decision you make? Well, I'm going to heaven today. Okay, great. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But it's the short-term decisions that help end up seeing those long-term decisions. I appreciate y'all putting up with me today. We're going to meet back here when? Oh, you got some announcements? Okay.